Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Yeah.
Good times.
Let's go, buddy.
I got a bunch to talk about tonight. Did you see Snoop on the way out?
I heard my main man, Snoop.
He was in here, in the studio just ahead of ours, the show ahead of ours, on the local station here, K-Rock in Los Angeles.
The mother station, the flagship.
He's good. He's doing great.
Snoop?
Yeah.
He's my main man.
That's my main name.
His of a chisel, my dizzle.
No, he doesn't want that anymore.
He said that.
He said it?
Yeah, I heard him say that.
I heard 2 weeks ago over at Kimmel there was that he put a
moratorium.
Kibizzle.
Kibashizzle.
A kibashizzle on the shibizzle.
Oh, well, he was shibizzling and schnizzling all over the place.
He was.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Isn't that interesting?
What are you going to do? Maybe they're just on Kimmel's show.
No, I mean, we got the news. You know, we sit around.
I didn't see Bishop Don Juan here either. Which
Bishop
I was
Don
shocked.
Magic Juan.
However,
you know, well, here's the funny about Bishop Don Magic Juan. When Snoop goes to Baltimore to open a liquor store, Bishop Don Juan stands behind him.
Yeah.
When Snoop comes out to this radio station, Bishop Don Juan lives half a block from the radio station.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it out.
Oh, maybe that's the
Think
problem.
Think about it.
It's interesting.
Too close.
Yeah.
Not
yeah, it
happening.
Is yeah. But he brought two gentlemen with him, which really, to me, tested the limits of the potential of human size.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
security.
Yes.
Security. Jewish guys? Jews? Jewish guys, right?
I think so. It's hard to tell. All right, so I'll see you.
Big sort of hairy arm Jewish guys? Yeah.
Heads the size of
the
biggest watermelon you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. Black guys.
350 to 400 pounds and
6'8". Black guys can get big.
Yeah,
And they get that neck roll. They get that like triple toilet seat roll down the back of the side, back of their head too. I'm telling you, a black man does not wear a mullet. That wouldn't be a bad hairdo for a fat black guy. The mullet.
But these guys, they're not fat. They're so much as huge.
Listen, when you're black and you're fat, you're huge. When you're white and you're fat,
you're fat.
Fat.
Yeah, okay.
It's a better thing.
It's a better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you look better.
Yeah, you don't look fat.
Well, you look...
It sort of looks like all up above the waist.
Here's sort of what it is. You telling me fat. That's really what... That's how it gets with black guys when they're like 400 pounds. I'll be over here. You go tell a guy with the multiple speed bumps running down the back of his neck that he's fat.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
see how that works. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, yeah. No, they should sport a black mullet.
But Snoop was as good spirited as always.
And, always in a good mood.
Yeah, really good guy. But and I have another thing I want to talk about. I did the Dennis Miller show today, you know, and also another amazingly positive group of people and pros running all over the place. And I was talking to one of the producers, these crack producers, you know, they're on top of everything, and they go, "Hey, Carolla's always going off about not hearing the phone calls. He's got to be kidding, right? I mean, it's a national radio show. You could hear the phone calls, right?"
Yeah.
I said, yeah. No.
Yeah, that's all theater of the mind we do
and,
here.
Yeah. And so last night we would have the chief engineer here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Poor engineer Anna. First thing she gets here is, where's Justin?
Oh, see the engineer?
Huh?
No, he's not here. Radio engineers are here's the way it works. First off, engineers in general are a certain breed of cat. My stepdad's electronics engineer.
That's an engineer. This is a tech
known
guy.
My stepdad for 31 years. We've exchanged that many syllables.
Yeah.
Pants keep coming up. Pants keep getting higher each year. Belt keeps getting tighter.
Yeah.
And what is that obsession, by the way, is the pants get higher, the belt gets in. Keeps you know, now he's at the point where he's augering new holes in the belt so he can cinch it up.
I think it feels like they're coming down, and so you just want to comfortably wear them because the hips are kind of moving up towards the there's no waist anymore.
Your sack is moving
toward the grave. There's no distance between the hip and the chest and the rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have something. There's nothing to rest the pant on.
Pant keeps getting higher. Belt is getting cinched up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's looking like when I did the I did the episode of The Family Guy where I was Death, and I was out on the beach having to wear some slacks, and they put a belt on me. It looked like a skeleton wearing Dockers with a belt trying to keep them up.
Yes, my friend hold on a second. Adam Carolla was supposed to set that up for
me. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's coming. Right. What about the engineer? The engineer never made it out here?
He must be here now because he promised he'd be here before the show.
All right. Well, the radio, so engineers are their own breed, breed, and then radio engineers are sort of like regular engineers with a wandering eye and an antisocial attitude, and always funky hair, and here's the thing I like about radio engineers, they believe in their heart of hearts they could do your job better than you could. They could be on the air, they're funnier, they're more clever, they're more interesting. And really should have been on the air. So there's always a slight air of resentment mixed with the, there's a smug. I know this equipment that you without me, buddy, your nasally drone wouldn't make it to one crappy teenager's car. That's right. All right. You're right. Now what else are we talking about? Snoop, good guy, engineer,
Dennis Miller.
I'd like to do his show.
I'm sure they will ask you. I'm positive.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you've already been up, right? You've done it.
No, I've never done Dennis Miller's show.
What?
No, I did Dennis Miller's show when it was on HBO or Showtime or whatever it was. It was one of the most enjoyable experiences I've had as far as TV show goes.
He knows how to do an interview like nobody. Right?
Yes. Here's the thing about Dennis Miller. There's a rap that he's an a-hole, basically, in the business.
No.
Well, I believe him. I believe every bad thing about everybody but me, but...
Oh, that's right, you have the same rap.
No, I don't have an a-hole rap.
Oh.
I have a he-doesn't-care-or-know-where-he-is rap.
Okay, yeah.
Leave him alone.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't know who to hate.
Right.
He hates himself more than he hates you. Right. He doesn't like publicists. He's not sure who you are.
Right.
He can't remember you.
Right.
All right, he doesn't know what business. He thinks he's a contractor.
Right.
That's
what
my
business
rap. He doesn't know what business he's in. Leave him alone. He's confused. All right. He wants to know why he can afford such a nice car.
Right.
All right. So Dennis Miller's rap is a little bit of a pain in the ass.
Oh, really?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But although with age, you do mellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys who are, I don't know what the prime a-hole age for a guy is. And
gotta be in the 20s.
Later 20s.
Yeah, later. I'm thinking 29.
Especially when some success is starting
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm thinking 29.
A little money in the pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Some success.
Yeah.
Working, anchoring the news desk at Saturday Night Live. And by the way, Dennis Miller, in his prime, or if he cares to do it, or when he does do it, one of the funniest stand-up comics that I've ever seen.
Mm.
I mean, he's really... Mm, really good at stand-up comedy, and
he's good. Well, I'm saying
he's good at whatever he does.
Yeah, he interviews. He listens. He makes eye contact, and he doesn't just listen. But he's driving. He's driving the interview. He's not just reloading.
Yes, immensely talented guy. Too smart for the business.
Yeah.
Here's the point. Say what you will about him, and Drew won't say anything about him. When I did his show when it was on
HBO,
Showtime or HBO or whatever it was, there was about a 5-minute pre-interview. Got to go out there and drop the F-bomb a couple of times.
Yes.
Fast, loose, easy. Nobody crawling up your ass.
Right, same way.
And he's total pro.
Yeah.
And he's not reading off, he's not looking down at cue cards and fumbling for his next question. He's looking you in the eye.
Yeah.
You're going off on tangents.
Yes.
He's not scared to go places you. If the conversation takes a little zag,
and keeps driving.
That's the way we're going to keep going.
Keeps going, keeps driving.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's no road that we need to stay on.
Right.
We need to stay on the road called the interesting road, and that's not paved.
Do you know? But
Drew,
I mean,
hold on, buddy.
What?
Let's really just drink that in again.
It was well said.
We need to stay on the road called the interesting road, and that's not paved. You know what I'm saying? Was the interesting road that wasn't paved.
Brilliant. Genius. Well, he kind of reminds me.
Really? We're paying you to sit here? You should be paying me. The interesting road that's not paved. Okay, quiet now.
Okay.
All right, now what's up, girl?
Are we good? I forgot. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
He did remind me of you a little bit, though, because they had some technical problems. Like, he's like, F it, just keep going. Let's go.
Yeah, he wants to get paid.
He wants to do work there.
Whatever's real,
go.
That's me. That's what I'm saying. So I'm keeping it real. That's right.
Because you go down that interesting road.
I go down the interesting road, which is not the paved one. Speaking of the paved road,
what?
Let me just say, just real quick, and then then we're hopping right onto these phones that may or may not work. Was at the place at the Senior Crime today, by the way. I work over at Kimmel.
Yeah.
Every other day, they close down Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, yes.
Every other day.
Well, this was when I got off of Franklin Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard was because of the American Idol finals.
Yes.
So there was a gridlock around there.
Yeah, but here's the whole thing. One of the Olsen twins makes a solid duty, and they close Hollywood Boulevard.
Right,
anything's
right.
cause enough to close Hollywood Boulevard. Rick Dees, he's going to get his fifth Walk of Fame star. We're closing Hollywood Boulevard. They do nothing but close Hollywood Boulevard, and they'll do it at the drop of an eyelash.
Mm-hmm.
Boom,
mm-hmm.
close Hollywood Boulevard. When they close Hollywood Boulevard, and everyone thinks, look, you people listening in Idaho think it's all great. Ah, you get to, you work right there, you're there. You're there at the historic theater, you're right across the street from where they do the Academy Awards, American Idol, Ryan Seacrest, blah, 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 blah. That nothing but pain in the ass tourists and traffic. And by the way, the part where you're working, you know, you're working at the part where the, you know, the Clampets were coming to from the Black Hills of North Dakota. You're over that in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Then it's just a bunch of a-hole tourists wearing fanny packs. Hey, we're the Chuggies. Hey, where's the tourist, the doctor? And traffic. Nonstop traffic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They close Hollywood Boulevard every other day. And the only way to escape from the Kimmel, again, I do leave a little earlier than some of the other riders. The only way to escape is to go backside, basically fish your way through these things. I ended up right in the intersection.
That's where I got my ticket.
Where you got your
were the cops waiting for you?
No, cops weren't waiting for me there, but I was trying to cross over Franklin. And here's the whole deal: when everything gets gridlocky, there's only one way to make your way. That is slowly start pushing forward. When the intersection locks up and there's a little space, you got to take your car and you got to start pushing forward.
Yeah.
If you just sort of wait until things clear up and the heavens part and Moses comes and spreads it, it's never going to happen.
No, they'll find you.
It's gridlock.
Yeah.
And no one's moving. There's no space. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. So I was driving up one of the streets and I was crossing Franklin heading toward the other side where you got your ticket. And there's a little opening in the gridlock. And I started peeking forward, peeking slowly because I couldn't see if the track was coming the other way. Sure enough, here comes a minivan with a chick, a couple people on it. She does that. There's no other traffic by her. She does that move where she stops, and then she stops in front of me, and then she looks sort of cross between wounded and insulted that I would attempt to venture, try to get home.
Wild man.
And then gave me the look like, yeah, what are you doing? And, I'm the worst guy to give that look to because out comes the C word, out comes the bird, and shake your ass, you fat C. Get going. And by the way, I don't need to be admonished. I don't need to be punished. Shake your ass. Get going.
What'd you do when you
said I'm making
that?
My way.
Could she hear you?
It always frightens them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But here's the thing. Get going, lard ass. I'm trying to go. You're trying to go, too. I stopped. There's no danger. I was creeping out. Yes, I'm trying to get to the other side. No, I can't see around the other cars. That's why I'm creeping. Yes, I saw you coming. Yes, I stopped. Now shake your fat ass. Get going.
Yes.
Don't give me your stink eye, you fat hoe. Get going. I don't know where you're going. I don't know why you don't want to get there, but I want to get to where I'm going. So shake your fat ass and don't punish me with your look of, oh, somebody was trying to shut up.
And could she get by without you even moving?
Zero. There were two.
Yeah. No problem.
No, she didn't have to swerve. There
Nothing.
Was no anything. It was just, I'm creeping. Up there she is. I stop immediately. She has to then sort of stop. That's the other one, too. Yeah, stop. Oh, I'm so wounded. Listen, all you C's and pussies out there, they're so wounded, so insulted that someone would dare drive on the streets that you drive on or somehow impede upon it. Just shake your fat ass. Just get your fat ass out of the way. Just get going. 10-2. Get your ass moving. Go. Forget about the stink eye. Forget about the horn. Mach now.
10-2.
Let's go. Get your ass going. I don't need your stink eye. Just drive, pussy. All you pussies, just get moving. Jesus Christ. Her and her bunch of fat ass family in their minivan with their. Oh. Swear to Christ, Drew. Is this town is just packed full of just pussies that would never happen in New York. New York's like, go. go. Here's just a bunch of just, I don't know if it's nothing but illegals without insurance.
No, no,
or it's
no.
Just
I do not blame the illegals. Are you kidding?
Just pure pussies behind the wheel? That it's just like, huh, he tried to drive when
no,
I was.
Here's
it's like,
the deal.
Get the
it's,
F out of the way, you
we
see.
We have so many GED trauma survivors in this town that every interaction is a potential opportunity to reenact the trauma.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to traumatize me. Everyone's trying to exploit me, take advantage of me.
Listen,
so you creeping your headlights 3 inches into the intersection.
Yeah.
You traumatize me now.
Yes. Yeah. Here's
and if you didn't notice, I'm going to stop and let you know that you've exploited
me. Write a letter, put it on the grave of your junkie uncle, and leave me the hell alone, you fatsy. Remember the one that molested you 19 years ago? Write the letter. Put it on his grave and leave me alone. Let me drive my car.
Right.
Jesus Christ. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying in this town of Los Angeles, let's shake our ass. Can there be a policy? Can there be a campaign?
No, no,
let's just get it going. Let's pick
more
it up.
Arrows.
Let's
more
pick up the pace. Let's pick it up. Nobody. I'm the first guy to think of pick up the pace. Everyone wants to put a second level on the freeway and dig a hole through downtown. Or can we just pick it up a little bit? Can people just pick it up? Do you need to leave the 30-foot gap between your bumper and the rear bumper of the other car when we're in gridlock? Or could you scoot your ass up and tighten it up just a little bit? Make a little more room in the intersection.
But wasn't that intersection confusing? Did you come upon it and know what the signs meant?
No, yes. Drew, fight that ticket and win.
Right? That intersection is bewildering when you drive up to it.
Correct. Right. Correct. Right. Don't say right when you're talking about driving, Drew.
Yeah. Correct.
It's confusing.
Correct. Kitty, 18.
Hi.
Lou.
I actually had a question for Snoop Dogg.
He ain't here.
I actually had a question for Snoop Dogg.
Hold on.
Start tracking.
Where
are we?
There, okay. 14.
The thing.
The smoke alarm went off.
Smoke alarm chirped off probably about 11.
Should be at 42 or so.
46. Yeah, no, because they go off between 30 and 35. Yeah. So we should be about 43, 44.
Here we go. Hold on.
All right, Kitty, we're going to need you not to move and just stay where you are, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, hold on. Just stay where you are.
Oh, the phone. See? The phones are out. The phone went blank.
All right.
Now I'm going insane.
Did we hear a chirp?
No, because the phone. Did anybody else hear the chirp?
I know.
Thank you.
I know we didn't hear the chirp, Drew.
Hello.
Justin just fixed those phones right up, didn't he?
All right.
National radio show. We're the coast take phone calls that they can't hear.
I just like the part where it goes out during the 3 seconds where we need to hear the chirp for the smoke. All right, now hold on, Kitty.
Okay.
What, we need you to stand under the smoke detector, please.
Oh, there it
there
is.
It goes. There it goes. All right, but see.
All right, 126.
Okay, I need to pace it. You see, that's my
session. It's almost exactly 30, I think.
It's like 33. It's between 30 and 35. Now, the Coleman First Alert series, that's 30. But if you're talking about the smoke
the generic,
series,
the generic,
the one that Home Depot moves, that's the more than 35.
Here you go. Shh. Oh, the phone's out again.
Hello.
Did it go again?
Not yet.
Okay. There we go. 03. It was 03.
What was it?
03. All right.
That's 30 seconds, right?
It's more. It's like 35.
Okay.
Maybe even 37. Okay. Now, is this smoke detector? By the way, this is going to be the bulk of the call.
And the show.
Is this smoke detector in your room?
Yeah, it's in me and my roommate's bedroom.
It's in your bedroom. Yeah. And approximately how long has the battery
has it
been
chirping?
Low?
She may not know the battery low.
Wait, here it comes.
Shh.
We caught the end of it.
Okay. All right.
How long have we had the battery
42.
In it?
42.
No, not how long have you had the battery in it. Adam, I told you she's...
How long has it been chirping at you?
For about 2 weeks.
For like 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't even hear it anymore.
Yeah, we got that far.
2 weeks.
Because if you could, you'd be jumping out the window.
2 weeks in the room...
We have a really high ceiling.
...that you sleep in.
And live in, basically.
Both of you sleep in.
Yeah.
Yes?
We can sleep with it.
Do you go to Cal State Northridge or something?
No, I go to SNC, and my roommate's a stripper.
Okay, I'm going to try it now. I'm going to try to guess where she strips, all right?
Okay, they're going to guess your club.
All right. Kit Kat?
No.
The classy lady?
No.
Bob's classy lady?
No, it's new. I'll give you a hint.
It's new? Mm-hmm. The Spearmint Rhino?
No, close though.
Licorice Zebra?
No.
I don't know. What is it?
The
Which one?
Score.
Oh, Score.
Yeah.
Oh, they got a Scores out here?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, man, let's give her a little break. And if she has to sit and listen to that music and dribble coming from the DJ.
Fat fanny pack ponytail
you
guy.
You might lose all awareness, auditory awareness of your surroundings,
yeah.
You know?
That's
all right.
True. That's
all right.
True. It's pretty loud in there.
Where is the Scores? Is it in the Valley?
The Score is in L.A.
Where
downtown
is it?
Downtown L.A.
Oh, it's downtown L.A.
By Staples.
By Staples? What the hell?
You didn't know about that, I
guess? Get out that way, bro.
Dude.
I'm looking in the laptop. So I'll give you a laptop.
Oh, it's the Score?
The Score.
Oh, it's not Scores, like, of New York.
No, it's the Score.
Okay. All right. Still got to get out there. All right. So what's the problem, besides you guys being so brain dead that you don't know that there's a chirp going off every 38 and a half seconds?
I actually had a question for Snoop Dogg.
Boy, she's got that abused voice.
Were you, Kitty, ever sexually abused?
Never.
What was that?
Yeah, huh?
We can't hear the calls.
All right, here's the situation, everybody. I know we cannot overstate this enough. We, meaning Drew, myself, and I think Engineer Chris, although I don't believe many of the things that come out of that kid's mouth.
No, I can't hear him either.
I don't even know if your name is Chris. We are the only people who can't hear
the incoming
calls.
Only the studio.
You at home can hear. That's why we're constantly saying things like, how old were you? How old were you?
Huh?
How old? Tell us again. Repeat it. Now, it's intermittent. It pops in, it pops out. And it usually works, like this. How old were you when your grandfather molested you? We hear three seconds of dead air, and then we hear, and that's why I'm the way I am.
Right.
Then we, like idiots, have to say, how old again? And then oftentimes, ironically, more...
It goes out again.
More just static sound, more white noise. Yeah. It would seem like a problem. It would seem like the kind of thing that you would need to fix in the first couple of...
For national radio show.
But again, this show's a little different than most.
And well, besides, at least we don't have to climb over chicken bones and hills of dirt and construction like we used to at West.
You got me. You have me yammering.
But we could go back there and climb over all the debris.
No, we will get this problem sorted out. It's only been 9 or 10 months, and
they've been complaining about it.
So let's let the engineers, let's give them a little time. That's what I'm saying, to work this out. Now the problem has gotten worse in the last couple of nights.
Yeah,
particularly, And
I think we've become a little less tolerant of it too.
Maybe, but. It seems like we're not getting through any calls, Jenna. And I know a lot of that is my tirades against the man. Jenna?
Hello.
You're 16?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing good, except for the technical difficulties.
Now, you notice line 4 does not have this problem. Oh, except right now.
Sorry about your problem.
Okay, hold on a second. Drew, do you ever get tired of being wrong? And let me tell you something. When Drew's wrong, it isn't... It isn't like five minutes.
Yeah.
He's not proven wrong five minutes later. It's not five seconds later.
The words are coming still out of my mouth.
It's not even full seconds. Yeah. Like if Drew said, I got to tell you, people complain about earthquakes in Southern California, but I don't see
duck and cover.
Start running. Yeah. Get under the desk. Yeah. The point is there's not going to be an earthquake later that night.
It's while I'm speaking.
It's while he's talking about it. Yeah. You need to actually put your head in your groin and get under the desk before he finishes his sentence about earthquakes. Do you understand?
Yes, I just...
Okay. All right. Drew seems to think that the problem is limited to certain call lines.
Yeah, but...
But that's just him and his superstitious pigeons. What are they called, Drew?
Superstitious pigeon.
Thank you.
Skinnerian pigeons.
That's what he is, because every line does it. You used to think of as line five, then it sort of moved over
to
one and two, and now everyone does it. All right, we'll do what we can do. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Like I said, we never needed calls on this show. We got the ace man. I'll do the driving. You guys just sit back and relax. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy Piven in here tomorrow night. A man who has been, well, his first role was as a child. He was in the movie Wings, which won the first Academy Award in 1923.
What was he? He was in something as a zygote, I heard. Yeah, oh, that little art
Jeremy
film with
Piven,
a guy floating on a bed with the moon over. I believe he made an appearance there.
Jeremy Piven has been in every movie ever made. Producer Ann, by the way, is under the console having a quiet conversation with the engineer right now on the hotline, trying to figure out what's going on with our phone lines. I don't know what to say. This guy's been the dean in every college movie. He's been the dean and the student. He's been
the cool teacher, the uncool teacher.
These are all the same in the same movie. He's the dean. He's a teacher. He's a rowdy frat boy.
Right.
And the janitor at the college, all in the same movie. So he's coming in here tomorrow night to brag about all the parts he's been in. You know, let me tell you how many things Jeremy Piven has been in. The Man Show originally was going to be on ABC about 4, 5, 6 years ago, whenever. Was originally a pilot, believe it or not, for ABC. And by the way, they passed on it, and that's when they began their slide. Think about it. Okay. And here's what it was. It was on the schedule. They were going to go with it, but the ad sales
Loveline was on Fox's schedule.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, but that does not tie into Jeremy Piven.
I know, I'm just saying.
The show that replaced The Man Show fall schedule on ABC in like 1997 was a show called Cupid.
Long-running show.
Yeah, if you call 4.5 episodes long-running. What a shock that the Man Show went on to such great success and the show that replaced it didn't make it a season. Has that ever happened?
Well, I'm sure all those guys lost their jobs and made that decision.
Yeah. Well, here's the point. Actually, probably they did.
Oh.
The point is Jeremy Piven has been in so much crap that he's actually starring in the show that replaced the show, my only network show.
Right.
So how much stuff has he been? And that's TV. He doesn't even do TV.
Right.
Understand?
I actually heard Cupid was a good show, by the way.
That was a great show.
No, I heard it was
acclaimed. Oh, shut up.
No.
Oh, whatever.
Not popular, but well done. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, quiet down over there.
What?
All right. Then Mimi Rogers in here Thursday night, who's been in more movies than Jeremy Piven. So here's my only problem with Jeremy Piven. I said to him when he was on... Am I boring you, Drew?
Adam, just your voice induces yawning.
I said to him when he was on this show last time, look, how do you get every other role? Three or four movies in production, you're in all of them.
Yeah.
How does this work? How do you do it?
Yeah. You assumed he was going to say, yeah, somebody just picks
you.
You
who do you blow? Right. What's going on?
Right.
And he said, I get the material.
I hustle.
I study the material. Yeah. I get off book. I get off script. I commit it to memory. I go in there, prepare. And I thought, oh, you're making me sick. Really? Hard work? Preparation?
That's the answer.
There's no luck. There's nothing. They don't know you. You don't just say, you remember me, my other 375 movies.
Yeah, Chris, it runs contrary to what you think about the pro you see sitting before you, Mr. Corona. I know you think
he broke my heart.
Needn't check the internet, needn't prepare.
That's where me
Piven prepares.
That's where me and Piven went our separate ways.
Yeah, you parted.
We parted. Respectfully, but we parted. I said, I heard the P word.
Prepare.
And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not down with that.
Yeah.
And
he really was a...
We have to agree to disagree.
I believe he even used the W word in your presence.
Was that Wang?
Work.
Work. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He said study.
Oh, Adam. I'm surprised you kept it together.
He said, prepare. He said, study. He said, rehearse. It was like, my head was going to explode. And I almost leapt over the console and started physically attacking him at that point. And
it said you took it out of me.
That's when I knew we could never be friends.
Yeah.
All right.
And lo and behold, you weren't.
Yeah, but it's been a couple of years. And
it's about time he's back,
I think I've cooled down a little. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring him in here. But if he starts up with that prepare and work BS again,
you'll lose it, yeah.
I will lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in no mood, bro. No mood. Not a mood. Not going to be in a mood. Not moodless.
Got it.
Got no mood.
Guess what?
Minus a mood. If I was in space, that's the kind of mood I'm in. It's out of vacuum.
Vacuum space.
Yes. Vacuum mood. Minus mood. No mood.
Jenna, 16.
Hello.
Yeah.
You're 16. How are you?
Good.
We're good.
Okay. I have a main question. Then I just had a question about the show. Mm-hmm. But my question is, I called like 2 weeks ago when the Dr. Drew placement was there. Mm-hmm. And I was calling because when I used to masturbate, or I guess I started before I turned 15, and I was able to get an orgasm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Yeah.
Moment, anyway.
I hear an echo when I talk, so it's weird.
Okay.
And
engineer, maybe that's a clue something's going on here, but go ahead.
Okay, so then eventually it started to feel like a urination. It was just a very strange feeling, but it wasn't good like the orgasm was. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't keep on going after that. And it's been like that since I turned 15.
That every time you try, you have that irritation feeling.
It wasn't necessarily irritation. It was maybe a little sore feeling, but I wouldn't try for that long to get it, so it wasn't like it was used out. And so,
like it was what? Used out?
I remember this call. This is when you were in Beantown doing something over there. Yeah, you used to have an orgasm, and now your orgasm just sort of felt like you had to whiz. But what's your question?
Well, I wonder, he said to relax, and I realized I can't get it back. And also, like, fine if I can never get it now, okay, but when I have sex, when I'm married and stuff, or, I don't know, whatever, will this affect it?
Okay, all right, hold on a second. Are you on any medication?
Yeah, but it's...
What are you taking?
Well, Putrin, Strattera, and
Clindamycin. That is the whole... Jenna, that's why you're having this problem.
Really?
No, I started taking that after I had a problem.
That's fine. It may have gone away by itself, but the medicine, I guarantee you, is sustaining.
She's taking a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, Wellbutrin, Strattera, and what?
Clindamycin, and I forgot the other thing.
What do you take antibiotics for?
I had a bad burn.
Where?
On my chest.
What happened?
I was really stupid. I went to the beach, and it was cloudy. And I got a little burn, and then I was at my friend's beach house the next day, and I was like, ooh, I'll get a tan, I'll get more burned. And then I got really, really burned, and then this is really gross, let my friend's little sister peel the skin off, because she thought it was fun, and she peeled too much, and it just got really...
infected.
Uh-huh.
You're on Clinda, and what else? You're on two antibiotics, or just one?
Two. Clindamycin, and
Anyway.
All right, but that's heavy duty antibiotics.
All right. She's on a bunch of antibiotics, and she's
the Wellbutrin and the Strattera, the other things. There's why shouldn't that?
What's the Strattera?
It's a stimulant-like drug. It's for ADD, basically.
And is that to counteract the Wellbutrin?
No, they're both stimulants. They're both ADD type drugs.
Well, I thought the Wellbutrin was one of those serotonin reuptake inhibitor things.
No, it's an adrenergic agent.
It's not.
Agonist. Different
so,
thing.
It's one that
doesn't have sexual side effects, but the two together might be doing something here.
Yeah, because you'll tell them to take the Wellbutrin
in place of
serotonin
drugs,
stuff.
Right.
All right, so you take the Wellbutrin and what's the other one she said?
Strattera. I know.
It sounds like Strattera sounds like two things.
A car.
It's either four door Japanese car.
Right.
It's got a peppy V6.
Right. Or board game.
In it.
Board game
involves cunning and strategy.
Right.
Strattera. You got my bishop. Oh, my king. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look out. Yeah. It really is. It's a car meets a board game from the 70s.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the whole thing, and it means nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. What does this stuff do? It's for people that can't focus.
Yeah, it's
can
a novel
focus?
Stimulant. No, I know.
Who can focus?
No, I can't.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you this, Drew. You know, everyone walking around talking on a cell phone, listening to an iPod simultaneously.
I'm not done with Jenna, by the way. Don't let her go. Go ahead.
Yeah. I am, though.
I'm not.
I was actually done with the callers about 4 years ago.
I'm well aware of that. Yes.
Constant stream of information stimulation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming in.
Absolutely.
It's all pouring in.
Yeah.
You walk down the street, signs are lit up, billboards moving, everything's happening.
Sensory stimulation.
You're listening to stuff.
Overstimulation.
Is everyone going to get ADD? What is ADD? How can anyone focus? And are we killing ourselves?
Well,
Do kids, do teenagers or like 12-year-olds, adolescents, do they need to stand on grass every once in a while and play catch and not talk?
I suspect so, to help with sensory processing is what you're saying. And here's the deal. I always like to answer questions about...
How can you form thoughts when thoughts are being stuffed up your ass constantly?
When anything's being stuffed up your ass, it is very difficult to form a thought other than don't stop.
I'm serious, though. How can one form an imagination when one is being bombarded with information?
Your question is rhetorical, and it's well put. However, whenever I try to understand things about humans, I sort of stand back and go... Well, now, what if I were sort of an anthropologist from Mars, and these weren't humans, these were other primates. Mm-hmm. And if we took these primates and put them in a room and stimulated the hell out of them, and it changed their behaviors, would we be surprised?
No.
No, of course not. So, no. There's going to be some consequence. I mean, now, is it going to be medically relevant?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm wondering if the imagination part and the creativity part will just be replaced for a quest and a thirst for stimulation.
Well, that seems to be what's happening, by the way.
Which is, look, I don't need a coloring book. I don't need a sketch pad. I need a ticket to a movie, and I need a new iPod.
Well, but
I need to put stuff in. I don't need to spill stuff out.
Well, I think where that really becomes fascinating is what is the impact of all this pornography and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, what is that?
I mean, no.
But what is that on a 14 or 18-year-old? What is that? How's that even... Humans have never been exposed. I mean, they've been exposed to intense stimulation of all types.
I'll tell you how it's impacted my maid.
Oh, she's had a lot more work to do.
She
vomits regularly.
She's in counseling.
No doubt.
She's actually had to call a crisis
team. And she's gotten good at cracking things over her knee.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She's become a brown belt.
In karate.
Yeah, but it's a certain discipline that involves breaking, cinder blocks.
Yeah.
I'm dropping. She can now.
She could do cinder blocks, but she works it out on your laundry.
Remember that used to be entertainment, halftime in a football game, guy's going to break a block of ice with his forehead?
Yeah, or his elbow.
Again, would kids stand for that? Nah, can't have that.
So anyway, here's the deal. Jenna, here's the deal. You were on a couple of medications. I understand they were started after these symptoms developed, but they may be perpetuating things. You're describing urethral irritation. It may be that how you're stimulating or how your bladder is emptying from the medication you're taking.
From Milton Bradley.
And try stimulating yourself without getting into the area where the urethra is, and realize that some women, when they have orgasm, do urinate. And maybe just that symptom is sort of bothering to you and you're unwilling to do that. A lot of possibilities here. It's not as simple as just, hey, just relax. That's come on.
All right. No.
But it's complicated and confounded by these medications and the fact that something is going on in your urethra and bladder. And you may want to have that evaluated.
All right. And also, don't get all up in your head. You're 16. Relax a little bit. Don't worry.
Don't start projecting.
Like, when I get married, will I have the orgasm return.
There's nothing you've described. And when she said I'm going to get an orgasm, I just imagine somebody like one of those video arcades with the big claw going out to get like a...
Yeah, drops
a,
on...
Drop down
well,
get a
never drops on the thing
animal.
You want. Drops on the plastic eye patch. Comes in the round thing. Never get the bear or the Rubik's
but
Cube.
You get the eye patch. One of those, too.
All right. Let's keep going, Drew. Yeah. We got to rock.
Yeah.
All right. Should we take a break?
Yes.
Let's do that. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's that Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy Piven coming in here tomorrow night. Most familiar face in cinematic history. Yes. Yes, I would argue that. Yes, I would. You know, it's funny. Got home last night. Watched a little of that Die Hard movie, the first one, the first Willis movie. A couple things you don't realize. First off, movie's probably 17 years old.
That's the only one I ever saw for Die Hard.
Couple things. Scene when he's on an airplane, he's getting his overhead baggage, and as he lifts his hands up to open the overhead bag, his jacket comes open, and the passenger spots his shoulder holster, spots his piece with his gun in it, and gives him a look, and he says, "I'm a cop," and then just sort of go back. Realize how crazy that sounds now in airlines, a guy traveling with his piece.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, while he's waiting at the baggage carousel at the LAX, lights up a butt. And not as part of a movie thing where someone's going to come by and say, "This is Los Angeles, just, put it out." Right. He's just smoking, waiting for his bag to come around. And it's like, I'm watching a movie like it took place 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm watching
it's an Egyptian temple.
He's smoking. He's smoking by the... There's people's luggage. There's Samsonite. He lit his... could you imagine lighting a cigarette by the baggage carousel now? You would be tackled.
Yes.
Rob Reiner would physically assault you with his 30-gallon bald head.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I just thought, yes, he's just smoking by the baggage carousel. And I'm sure... Now, nowadays, by the way, if you wanted to film that scene, you would have to erect a full-scale baggage carousel.
Because you couldn't actually even do it.
You could not actually light a cigarette inside.
And let alone let it be Los Angeles that you were enacting.
And
unless it was Los Angeles 1940.
I thought to myself, this movie's 1987. Yeah. Maybe 88. I don't know. Maybe it's 86. I don't know what year the first Die Hard was. But as I saw him smoking, it's sort of, hey, he flew in from New York. He just, as a New Yorker, he took a six-hour plane flight. He's now waiting for his bag, and like all smokers, he's going to light up a butt. Mm-hmm. By the way, smoking, good guys used to be able to smoke in movies, by the way, too. He was a cop. He was from New York. He smoked cigarettes.
By the way, '60s and '70s, they'd be smoking on the plane.
Now, if I saw that, my head would explode.
In the special smoking area of the plane, comical.
I would rush the TV set and smash it. I would start running in circles and screaming, pulling my hair out. Like, it was, and then it made me realize, like, oh my God. I wanted to tattle on Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I got to call Rob Reiner and tell him someone's
smoking.
The
gun part's pretty wild, though, too.
The gun part's crazy, too. Yeah, it's just packing his heat. And not factoring in, neither one, the smoking in the baggage carousel or the packing the piece on the plane, wasn't part of the movie plot.
Right,
that's
right.
Nobody said, hey, but how did you get, or anything. It was
cops.
Just, no, that's what
that's
you do. As a cop, you got a gun.
Yeah.
You travel, you bring your gun with you. You bring your smokes, you bring your gun. That's what you do. All right, let's talk to Tara.
Yeah.
Tara?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
You like sex, but unsure if you have an orgasm.
Yeah, basically, everything is fine. Like, I enjoy everything up until it. But in place of what I would think, like, where I would think I should have an orgasm, like... It's kind of like how if when the guy goes, like,
that
little, really,
flag
really
comes out, says bang.
She gets a windmill salt shaker.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just get really, really sensitive to the touch, so I don't know if it's that.
Mm. Yeah, you're not having an orgasm.
No.
Yeah.
You'd know it if you were.
Yeah, you're not having one.
Okay. So I don't know if it's like a mental thing where I'm just not letting myself, like, because I'll sit back and, like, try to, like, relax or to.
You mean during intercourse?
Yeah, or actually, because more through oral is it.
All right,
like,
here's the reality. It is not going to happen during intercourse.
Yeah.
All right, you got that. Not going to happen.
Right.
It will happen with oral sex if you're able to sort of coach your partner along, if he kind of knows what he's doing. But at 21, it's not unusual for women to have real difficulty having an orgasm at 21. Somewhere in those early 20s, you will start to have them. The wiring sort of hooks up.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be fine.
But you got to kind
of. Don't push.
Don't push. Pay attention. Don't be afraid to instruct your partner.
Really, I'll tell you, orgasm for a woman, it's like a golf swing. You cannot try to crush the ball. You just have to sort of.
It's a great analogy.
Relax.
Yeah.
Smooth, fluid motion.
Natural.
You know, natural. Don't try to kill it.
Yeah, and it's also it highlights the difference between men and women, that she still likes sex and has a receptive experience of sex without an orgasm, which the male cannot.
Guy can push through a tough orgasm night,
but the deal is
woman can't.
But forget that. How about just enjoying without an orgasm?
Yeah.
A guy like, No.
Well, enjoying up until the point where you realize you're not going to have the orgasm.
Then he's frustrated and angry.
I'm just saying, as a guy can actually will himself, like once in a while, had a few too many, like Mickey's Big Mouths, you're a little coked up, somebody cut the coke with too much speed, so you're a little jittery, you're going for that, you're going for the trifecta, Jack, and your penis is not cooperating, even your own reflection, your sweaty reflection, the mirror's not doing it for you, and it's like, you're going like, come on, I got a calf cramp, I'm pushing through, we're pushing, we're going, we're making a run, boys, let's do it now. You focus, you hunker down, you dig in just a little bit more. It's like trying to squat 400, 500 pounds. You know, let's do it.
But again,
the point is you can actually do it.
But the point is that it would not be
more
a pleasurable experience without it.
No.
Yeah.
Even this in that question, and I'm always fear death. But to me, it's like I will not be beat
by your own biology,
by my own balls.
You'll beat your biology.
That's right. Take yourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. It's Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam Carolla. And we're going to get back to a call that we had a little bit earlier in the night. Kitty and her horny roommate were, I believe her roommate was a stripper.
From The Score.
Yeah. Downtown L.A. Got to get by that place. And the phone was cutting out a lot. We weren't getting the full story. And I became so consumed with her smoke alarm, which was going off every 30 seconds in the room her and her roommate sleep in. And it's been going off for 2 weeks, by the way. I became obsessed with that we never really got to her questions.
But we did get the smoke alarm timed out.
39 seconds.
37, I believe it was.
I think it's 39, but we can settle it. Kitty?
Hi, guys. Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, yes. Actually, now we hear you a little better than last time. Your volume's
okay.
Up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my question, I actually wanted to ask Snoop, but maybe you guys can help me.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg was in a little bit earlier, and Kitty was calling to talk to him. Kitty, please stand in the room where the smoke detector was going off.
Yeah, I'm in here.
Yeah,
what's that? You're in there now.
Okay, uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. My question
so
is...
should go off again at 34.
Is that I notice whenever I smoke pot, my sex drive, like, increases a lot. And I don't know, it's kind of becoming a problem because I'm not really able to get off unless I'm high.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Is it with the same guy or with your boyfriend now?
No wonder she wants to talk to Snoop Dogg, by the way.
Oh, because it was a bed-related question. And I'm a Snoopy groupie.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm not sure what Snoopy does with people named Kitty. I'm not sure if he like, kills them or humps them.
Cats Drew, and dogs.
Drew, you're right. It's 37. It's not 32.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not 39. I just paced the smoke detector.
Good, see?
And by the way, let me explain one problem with women in general. Out of reach, out of mind. Can't be fixed. If you took a chick and you just took a grenade, a live grenade, and you put it on a stick that was just out of range and put it over their bed, it'd be there for 6 years. That's like, they don't understand the concept. By the way, Chip understands the concept of sliding a block over and getting a banana that's hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
Women, they'll stare at a light bulb that's like on a fixture that they can't reach. It'll be out for 28 years. They'll just stare at it. It's like, what can we possibly do? There's no device that could actually elevate me. I guess I'll need some taller shoes. It's interesting that a woman understands the concept of a 6-inch heel, but doesn't understand the concept of a stepladder.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. All right, Kitty. So when you get high, you have your orgasm. That's when you get used to.
Yeah.
And that feels good. And if you're not high, you're not going to have an orgasm.
I'm not as sensitive.
All right, well, people do have certain senses heightened when they're high, although later, after a few years, it starts to dull out a little bit.
Right.
Switch his speed and fix all that.
Yeah.
All right, why? And here's the other thing, too. If your mantra is, I can't have an orgasm without weed, you're going to have a hard time having an orgasm without weed.
Oh, no, I can't.
Also, if you're a trauma if
I
you're
keep an open mind.
If you're a all trauma right. survivor, as we've sort of decided you are, sex can have a lot of difficult feelings associated with it, and the pot can sort of medicate that away.
Really?
How about that? Yeah. Are you? Were you sexually abused? Did you say that before?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Physically abused?
No.
Does your dad work with metal?
No.
What does he do?
Well, he writes books. He's an author.
On working with metal?
No, nothing with working with metal.
Your dad is an author. Drew and I are going to have to either kill ourselves or convene in the corner.
He writes political books.
And did he abandon the family early?
No.
He's still with your mother?
No, I don't live with her. I live with my roommate.
By the way, that is her smoke detector, which goes off every 37 seconds in the room that she sleeps in.
We both jump when it goes off.
Let me explain. A turtle would go insane if it was in that room. Do you understand that? I'm trying to think of a life form. A jellyfish would kill itself. Would eat one of its own tentacles.
Yes, a cilantro would lose its mind.
That's right. There are things that have less than one cell that would kill
a planaria.
Would kill itself. Do you understand with that thing chirping?
Yeah. Well, listen. Still, what is up with Kitty? That's not all fitting for me at all.
All right. Why are you out of the house so young? You're only 18 years old.
Because I make a lot of money.
What do you do?
I'm a model.
What kind of modeling?
High fashion.
High fashion?
Mm-hmm.
Northridge?
Hold on. No, let me explain that. She's doing porn, and she's really high when she's doing it. That's
high fashion.
Yeah. She's getting reamed, and she's high. That's it. Yeah, what do you mean high fashion?
Well, I'm aspiring. I do, projects, just print work for catalogs and some magazine work. I've been in a couple ads, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to work my way up to go to Europe to model.
You want to go to Europe. And I've screened this many times. All they ever boast about in Europe is how beautiful the women are over there. Do they have to take our hotties? You know what I mean? She's calling from the San Fernando Valley. She's a hot chick from the San Fernando Valley. That's my hometown. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
I could use her. Mm-hmm. But no, I got to pack her up and ship her off to France because they don't got hot chicks. And where are their hot chicks? I don't see them in Northridge. That's for goddamn sure. Why do we got to take all our hot 15-year-olds and ship them off to Europe? They don't have hot chicks in Europe? They got plenty of hot chicks in Europe.
Or why can't they
you
send some back?
Goddamn Europeans,
there should be an exchange, right?
Okay, that's a point. That's for every good-looking, hot teen, we send your ass from a Kentucky or Iowa or Northridge, you send us a hot chick from Sweden or France or Germany. How about it? One for one, like they do with terrorists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or hostages or prisoners.
Perfect.
We exchange.
Hmm?
Why should you take all our hotties? And again, you're Europe. Everything's better there, right? Don't you have more hotties than we have? What do you need our hotties? I never understand that. Like, whenever you talk to any of the models, half of them, they grew up in, like, Alabama or Georgia or something. What happened? Well, at 14, I went to Milan to begin my modeling. What do they need your 14-year-old ass over there for? Right. Well, I was skinny. Yeah. I had nice eyes and nice hair. Yeah, they don't have a billion of them? Yeah. Really? They don't have a chick over 5'8" that they can use? How does that work, by the way? What really? I know it sounds like this is just the rantings of a madman, but do they need our 15-year-olds from Kentucky to fly over there to Europe to get raped by their coked-up, balding...
Wranglers.
Wranglers. Yeah. Yes, they're artisans. Do they need that? Do they have to go to Paris? I've been to Paris twice. There's hot chicks all over the place. Just use your own. How many 14-year-olds do you need, by the way? What are you doing? How much print work? What's going on? Is there that much work? Am I insane? What goes on? Why don't you just use... Jeremy Piven does 5,000 movies. That's all. He doesn't... He's coming in tomorrow night, by the way.
And by the way, with the computer
just
stuff...
Just use the same chick.
Do you have to go there for the environment?
Find 20 hot Parisian chicks and use them. And that'll be enough. Why do we need a new one? And why do we have to deplete our vital resources of hotties. And here's the thing, too. They go over there. They start smoking. They get coked up. They get hooked up with an Arab guy. And that's the last we see of them. Gone for good. Who gets left behind? The trolls. And we have to have ugly sex with them and then produce ugly offspring, therefore further depleting. Do you understand this is a national crisis? We're so worried about the wetlands disappearing. We're not focusing on the hot 14-year-olds that are going abroad and never coming back.
This is the new campaign to replace the rainforest.
Roman Polanski's raping them. They're married. They never come back. They're gone.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we got the thick, cankled chicks over here. We're reproducing. We're having ugly offspring. Slowly, the population of young hotties is shrinking and shrinking until eventually there's nothing left for us.
Fantastic.
And then what happens? We got to move over to Europe.
All right.
And start taking our hotties back.
That could be okay, too. Right.
That's why I want to implement a tagging process where we tag and track our young hotties.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good.
Okay.
Got a plan.
All right. They really got to go to Europe.
Line
no
five.
No hot chicks in
line
Europe.
Five.
No, no.
Line
no.
Five.
Nothing
no,
hot.
No, hot
chicks.
Oh.
Kitty?
Yeah.
How much money do you make a month modeling?
How much money? You know, actually, I think that you saw me. I was at Starbucks yesterday in Hollywood, and I saw you walk by. Like, were you there? I think it was you, Adam.
Let's see.
In a Starbucks? He walked into a Starbucks?
No. I was sitting outside right by the Ryan Seacrest show.
Oh, mm-hmm. You probably were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did go to Starbucks
yesterday.
Did you see
a blonde
afternoon.
Girl in a off-the-shoulder, like, loose kind of sheer white shirt? And blonde, that was me. And I saw you, and I tried to say hi, but I didn't want to bother you. You were talking to some guys.
Yeah, I was more yammering, right?
Yeah.
Complaining.
Unshaven and looking like I was complaining about something.
Oh.
Yeah, you should have stopped me.
Really? Right.
Before you killed again.
I'll tell you what, let's do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, go down there again.
Really?
Yeah, because...
What time? Should I sit there all day?
No, because here's what happens. Every day after the writers' meeting...
Yeah,
we
so
go,
she should go there at 1 o'clock.
Go there at 1 o'clock.
All right, 1 o'clock. He'll see you there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
He won't remember that he made this date, but he'll be there.
We'll go there. We'll go across the street. We'll do it. Yeah. All right.
Flag
and this time, stop
me. I'm Swedish, too. I'm like my heritage and Swedish.
All right. Well, you stay here. You stay here stateside. We don't export hotties anymore. By the way, this is worse than giving nuclear technology to the Koreans. Do you understand? This is dangerous.
More serious.
More serious. A more pressing issue in my mind.
Yeah.
And believe me, when I'm in charge, this is one of my platforms I take a stand on.
So you get elected on this one.
Yeah, you'll not be going to Europe to model.
Yeah.
None of you. You model right here, or there'll be no modeling at all.
That's my policy, by the way.
You model stateside, or you don't model at all.
Now, you interview Kitty, but you find out what the hell's the matter with her. Something's wrong.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I got to remember to go to that Starbucks.
Underdeveloped in some way.
Well, let's hope it's not in any visible way. All right. And no, I don't know how hot she can be. I didn't see her.
Yeah. When you're complaining, are you kidding?
Although, when I walk, I look at my feet.
Not walking. When you're complaining.
When I'm complaining, I have a single focus, which is the sidewalk in front of me.
No, which is everyone listen to me.
Right, but I can't be noticing hot chicks.
No. Aaliyah?
Yes?
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. Me and my friends have all, gone through this question. Mm-hmm. If a guy is having sex and he penetrates, it's his first time, but he doesn't finish, does it count as him losing his virginity even though he doesn't finish?
Yes, because if the orgasm was a necessary requirement of losing one virginity, half the female population would not lose their virginity until they were 30.
70.
But
no.
Lost all my faith in my husband.
What?
You're married?
Yes, I'm married. And
17?
That's how the question first came to me, is because he was with a girl, but he always told me, well, I didn't finish, so it didn't count. You're my first.
Yeah, and you believe that BS.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah, I did.
Hold on.
I didn't orgasm, so it didn't count?
Yeah.
Adam.
Hold on a second.
You're going to try to convince her of something else?
No, but I will say that there are shades of gray here.
No.
And now just... Just listen.
Are you high?
Now, first off, the woman orgasming part is completely out of the window. You cannot use the same criteria to measure the man versus the female virgin. Okay. Yes. So let's set that aside for a second. Yes. Secondly, if a guy has intercourse with no orgasm, he is no virgin. But I would say that the fact that he had his first orgasm with you
sets you apart.
Sets you apart.
I'll give you that.
Makes you a little more special.
Yeah.
And if it's possible to be 7/8 not a virgin or 3/4 not a virgin, this is it.
Well, let me put it in a different context. The whole thing about virginity has gotten so blurred anyway. Mm-hmm. This is just another technicality, but it is a gradation of some type.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, okay, I'll give you that.
Yes, yes. And it could mean that it didn't go on very long, it was uncomfortable, he wasn't enjoying it, all things that bode nicely for you.
Or she was so hot that he freaked out, couldn't handle it.
That's...
Yeah. Or he finished
no,
it.
No, I'm saying she's ugly.
Okay. All right.
He was really, like, bag over the head ugly.
Drew's taking a walk here. Drew likes to finish in the hair. That's his thing. It's passion. Aaliyah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're 17 and you're married already.
I've been married since I was 16 for a year now.
Oh, okay. So it's been many years. All right. Well, that's
why.
That's
why 16?
My dad was very abusive.
Okay. You're taking refuge.
And so I kind of like ran off and got married.
All right. You know that's what you did. All right. How's your husband?
He's great. He's in the military. He's in Korea right now. He's coming home on Monday.
Adam has a...
Adam brought up Korea 33 seconds
ago. Adam
has
something he needs to sort of bring up with the military and your husband, interestingly, particularly as it pertains to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They need to really adjust their priorities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shut up. What's your husband do over there?
He's in comm communications. He sits on his butt in a comfortable chair and works on a computer all day.
All right. Well, that's good. And at least he has something that might translate into some sort of civilian work, too, by the way, working for a communications company, computer company, phone company. You know, some of these guys that get into the military, and it's like, what do? I do artillery ranging.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm an artillery ranging specialist. What is that? Well, I'll actually go ahead and put the detonation caps in there and arm the artillery shells. We used a 55-millimeter howitzer, and then it's like... What do you think you're going to do? Transition into working for the school board, working on artillery? Hey, listen, Nimrod, when you're in the military, you're supposed to be in there for like 4 years. You're supposed to learn something. Then you're supposed to get out. You're supposed to use the GI Bill, buy a house, and translate it into something. Don't be putting primers into 55-millimeter howitzers. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You're right.
Thank you. All right. Why do that part? Why do that part?
It's what their passion is.
I know. Okay, but you know, be a diesel mechanic, learn to work on jet engines, do the communications thing. Don't be the artillery ranging guy.
Yeah.
This is no, unless you like get a job at the circus and the human cannonball or something. Maybe here's where we put the net. I don't know. By the way, that guy does not get enough credit.
The human cannonball guy?
Does not get enough credit.
Or the guy that sets up the...
the human cannonball.
Why?
Imagine you're climbing into a cylinder that's about 20 feet long, and someone is setting a net up on the other end of the parking lot.
It's like a big trapeze act, basically.
Yeah. In between you and the net is 200 foot of asphalt.
Okay, all right.
Think about it.
Okay.
You're going to be about... you'll be about 9 stories in the air. And you'll be covering essentially a parking lot, a couple of vans, a couple of mobile homes. You overshoot it, you're in a more parking lot.
Yeah.
You come up short. Is that you understand? It's not a whole long strip of.
So
net.
Again, really, it's the artillery adjustment guy, the guy that's setting the artillery range that really deserves the credit.
The human cannonball deserves a medal. Well, think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, imagine you just stand at the end of the barrel. Just pretend you're standing on the ground out in the parking lot, end of the barrel, walking 200 feet over to where the net is on the other side of the thing, just stepping over curbs, parking blocks, parked cars, what have you. Yes, you'll be covering this terrain in the air. If something should happen, by the way. You come up a little short, you get hit by a seagull or something. You'll be about eight stories in the air, too. Something happens, a strong wind knocks you off, whatever. You're not going to be landing anywhere on this net. We just assume throwing you over an eight-story building and just go sailing into the parking lot. It's hairy.
Yes, you're right.
Forget the whole cannon part.
Now you're
being
out
the flying part is hairy enough. You're being launched out of a cannon. Okay, Drew.
Give them their due. Done.
Give it to them.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right. Aaliyah?
Yes?
All right.
Yes.
All right. Here's all I want you to do.
Okay.
This is why you shouldn't get married at 16, because you get caught up in these sort of like who was a virgin and all this kind of stuff. Just remember, this is a good guy. It's not your daddy. Don't act out on
him.
Don't sabotage this relationship. He's going to come back from Korea. There's going to be some growing pains. You guys are going to be living on top of each other for the first time in a few months. You're going to be getting on each other's nerves. You're going to start acting out. You're going to want to get him to abuse you like your abusive dad.
Yep. Or you're going to want to do something to get something out of him, a rise out of him.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. I do that a lot too.
I know
yeah,
you
we
do.
Know. We know what.
Don't
that.
Rattle his cage.
Right.
Be thankful.
Stop tugging
on
his
weird.
Chain.
You guys knew that because I do. I like pick at him about stuff, and I can't. I don't know why I do it, but I do.
Because
I'll like
need,
try
because
to
you need to evoke dad from this guy.
Yes,
you need to evoke that experience.
Like
I know, but you're going to work at him until you get him to behave like.
Whaley shows you the back of his hand one day.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do it.
Just be thankful for what you got.
This is your issue, and you need to work on it.
People that have been traumatized find ways to reenact the trauma. You'll find somebody that's the same person,
right.
Or they evoke something from,
or they get the person to become that person,
right? Or evoke something like that.
Yeah. And but God bless you, Leah,
for understanding and
agreeing with us.
Yeah, she's open to it. So.
Yeah, she knows she tugs on him. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to, took a melatonin
Jenny.
Once.
Jenny.
Related to lower sex. Took 9 melatonin. I ate a bottle of those things. Ever since Dr. Bruce told me to eat them by the handful, I said, screw it, I'm going nuts. Jenny over here doesn't want to have sex with boyfriend anymore. Gets mad when he does. All right, beautiful. We'll talk to her after this. Hey, everybody. Is Drew going? No, he's not. Oh, why isn't...
I'll be there.
You will?
I'll be in New York that day.
You will?
You're going
Thursday?
To New York?
Yeah.
I'm leaving that afternoon, but I'll be there.
All right. No, I can use
it.
Yeah. All right.
And I'll be doing something for Axe.
Phone number. Oh, what the hell are you doing?
Some sort of discussion, leading some sort of round table.
What the hell kind of separate life, man?
I know, dude. I don't even know you anymore.
What are you doing, man?
You heard me, man.
When are you going to New York?
Next Wednesday.
And Wednesday?
Yeah, I got to do Good Morning America in the morning. For something else.
Okay.
Unrelated.
All right. And so you'll be in New York on Wednesday.
Yeah, and I'm leaving again on, I think, Thursday night. Maybe Friday morning.
Work that out, buddy.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe Friday morning, I think.
Maybe Friday morning.
So,
all right. All right, let's break it down.
Good.
All right, everybody, let's get to the phones and speak to Jenny. Sorry, once in a while, Drew and I have a conversation.
Is this on?
We have a conversation over some urination and a cup of coffee. We go to the bathroom every break because every commercial is a bathroom break for
everyone.
Us. And if they were spaced out 3 minutes apart, I would go in there
and
float a number two. And over the course of the show, how many bowel movements did you have, Em? 26. If it was a four-hour show, it'd be 58. Yeah, 52 bowel movements.
Yeah.
I go in there and urinate. Actually, urinate.
Produce
urine every single commercial break.
Yeah.
And Drew does, too.
Yeah.
And whether we like it or not, that's what we do. I wonder why I get up eight times in the middle of the night to take a leak. Because according to my bladder, I should be urinating. Wait,
we do the worst combination of things. We pee every 11 minutes, and we drink six pots of coffee.
Copious
and
amounts go to bed. Of coffee. Oh,
then, well, well, I do. Well, you add on a bottle of wine, then you go to
wine.
Bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I have an IV in me when I go to sleep of Kamchatka. But no, here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing. I just realized this, Drew. I pee, 13 times during the course of this show.
Yeah.
My bladder.
Oh, there you go again.
I just urinated. Yeah. My bladder thinks it's supposed to relieve itself about every 9.5
minutes. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm up all night, too.
When I go to bed at 2:30 in the morning,
yeah.
I'm up at 3:10, like, oh, my God, I'm going to explode.
But you
should have urinated 12 times by
in
now.
In addition to training it, you've yes. dumped in 8 gallons of liquid.
I know.
After 10 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's genius. Anyway, so our conversations don't end
once in a while. The conversation bleeds onto the air, and I'm sorry, we had to take care of a little business. We use this like an intercom. Go ahead, Jenny. What's up? 26.
Yeah. It's been coming on kind of gradually that I don't want to have sex anymore, and the more that he tries, the worse I get mad.
Yeah, that's a common sort of a complaint that women get, is that when they start sort of shutting down for whatever reason, men turn on the aggression or turn on the sort of what feels like exploitation and begging and demanding sex, mm-hmm. and that shuts you down completely, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Like, for a while, I would give in, even though I didn't
All right.
really
so,
want
so to. So I sort of see this as two separate things. It's what caused you to shut down in the first place. And then how do we get your husband to be more empathic?
Is it
things?
Boyfriend or husband?
Boyfriend.
Okay. And
we have a baby together. He's almost 2.
Boyfriend with a baby.
How long have you guys been together?
Probably about 4 years. Hmm. We were having problems before I got pregnant.
What kind?
We'd actually separated.
What kind of problems?
And I got pregnant. Well, he'd gone away to work, and he'd end up he'd cheated on me, mm-hmm. so I kicked him out.
All right, so now is the reason you're shutting down sexually initially that the relationship just isn't satisfying to you anymore, or there's something going on in the relationship that's troubling you?
You're asking me that?
I'm asking you that.
I don't know. It's like I can't.
So it's not like
You might not know if that's the reason you're being shut down sexually, but you do know if the relationship is having difficulties.
Yes, the relationship's definitely having difficulties.
But before he started demanding sex from you, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What
I was trying to get a clarification of was whether or not there's something interpersonal, psychological, or my next line of questioning was going to be, do you have any medical problems, do you have any medication, something else to shut you down, and then now he's coming on with a bunch of aggression.
Here's what's going on. She's PO'd.
She's angry. You feel it, yeah.
She's screwed up a little bit, and she's PO'd. Whenever you hear that 26-year-old chick that sounds like she's 43 and has looked death in the eye a few times, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So she's mad at men a little bit. She picked a guy, probably like dear old dad. He's just some idiot who stepped out on her.
Yeah.
She never really resolved that with him.
Right.
She's angry at him. Probably would have broken up with the guy, but did what dumb people do, which is they spit out a kid, and then they end up staying together for the kid. Now the kid's got a resentful dad, an angry mom.
Yep.
Mom shuts down sexually to sort of pay the guy back, and because she's angry with him. Guy ends up cheating more, by the way, because he's not getting any at home, and therefore you have what you call your negative syndrome.
The good times.
Yeah. And kid hopefully is a girl, so she can grow up and repopulate the stripper, vastly fading stripper population.
The one
here.
That's being sent abroad,
sent to Europe. Yeah.
He's a boy.
Oh, that's bad. Boys end up just being criminals and gang members.
How come you think I sound like I'm 40?
Yeah.
You do.
Well, you've seen a lot. You've seen a lot. Where's your dad?
Him and my mom, they actually separated just probably like 5 or 6 years ago. It was after I graduated from high school.
That's good. And do you get along with your dad?
Yes, I love my dad.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Good. Is your mom crazy?
A little bit. I love her, too, but she...
Okay.
My dad's, like, a burnout biker. He is, like, living in a freaking camp trailer at his parents' house alongside the garage.
Sounds like quite a catch. Who wouldn't love that, Dad?
Well, Dad of the Year, 5 years running.
Yeah, really. That's his pet face on the top.
Well, there's more, there's more to a person than that.
Hold on a second. You know what's really weird is when I said... when I said she sounds like a 40-year-old who's
seen a lot,
seen death, looked at death in the eye, I was when I said saw death in the eye, I didn't say it in my mind's eye. I was seeing a motorcycle crash, body on the highway, motorcycle thing.
Interesting.
I don't know why. It was a very.
Let's see if that's actually what she witnessed. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I don't think she saw anything, Jenny.
Yeah.
You ever seen your dad get in a motorcycle accident or
somebody else?
I don't know of any. When I was little, I had a little like Yamaha 40, and I wrecked it a couple times.
Doesn't
pretty
count.
Bad.
No.
If we were doing a show where I was a psychic, it would count. I would be dead nuts on.
He means a real serious accident sometimes.
No,
I'm not. I'm just saying I got biker. I got biker dad for some reason when I was talking to you, and then when you start telling me your dad was a great guy. And you loved him very much, and your parents just recently broke up. I was
Didn't make sense.
And then it got back to him living in the dog run of his buddy's apartment,
his parents' house,
and being a burnt out biker. And then whoop, snap back into focus.
Was he a heroin addict?
Not that I know of. I'm wondering. It seems to me like methamphetamine seems to be like really big out here. All of a sudden.
Heroin and meth.
Okay, so listen. I know you're a huge fan of your dad. Your dad's a piss poor dad.
Yeah.
And probably not a great person.
Well, and I'm not a horrible human being, but not a great dad. Not what you want for a good dad. That will leave a nice imprint behind.
What brand of construction or truck driving does your current boyfriend do?
Oh my gosh. He's a welder.
Oh. Yeah. See, white trash biker dad equals welder
equals metal,
dude.
Metal.
There's something about bikers and, I'll tell you what the connection is when we're urinating. All right, okay. Just, Jenny. All right. The phone's cutting out too much. Don't screw the kid up, please. Yeah. Please. Like I said, if it's a girl, they just get into pornography and no one's the wiser. We're better. We're better.
Just relax. How can we advise her? She should stay with the guy. Go to school.
Find Jesus Christ.
No more kids. Build a community so you get support.
start communicating with the guy.
Eliminate your resentments.
Say look.
Maybe some Al-Anon for you.
If we're going to stay together, and we should on behalf of our child. Let's try to have a good relationship here. I'll try to drop some of the resentment I had toward you. You try to stop pushing on me, and
this
let's
get
close
to home to you. I've heard you say stuff like that to your wife, but
oh my God, that is so weird. I got the sounds like 40, saw death in the eye, white trash biker, meth, the whole thing. It was all rolling around in my head, and then she said, "Love my dad." Very much. Parents broke up after I graduated high school. She's calling from Washington State, and I thought, all of a sudden, I was like, I'm all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm all wrong. And then boyfriend welding, dad biker, meth, the whole thing.
Good times.
It's all back.
A little Al-Anon, Jenny. It might do some good.
Al-Anon. Be great. Great. So, but proving once again, I'm right 1,000% of the time. Thank you. Josh?
Hey, what's up?
First
of all, I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of the show, and I listen to you guys religiously every night. And
thank you, Josh.
I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I think what you guys do for everybody is great.
Thank you, Josh. It's our pleasure.
My question is, my sex drive has been lowered for the last couple of days, and I was wondering if maybe melatonin can lower your sex drive, because I took like 9 melatonin pills on Sunday night.
Well, it's interesting. almost any pharmacologic agent can affect your sex drive. It's actually a rather delicate system.
Well, why did you take 9, by the way?
Well, I was just really tired and depressed, so...
I think it's more likely to be the depression than...
Well, I've taken that many before, and it has never lowered my sex drive. So.
Anything else? Ecstasy or speed?
No. Yeah. I'm not into any of
it. Good. It's just fine. Part of the depression.
And by the way,
men have sort of biological rhythms. You know, they kind of up and down. And
yeah.
Then they work out more. Sometimes it goes up. And you know.
At 16, it wouldn't hurt to ratchet down the boner just a little bit.
Yeah.
You have a girlfriend, Josh?
No.
What do you need a sex drive for, then?
Well, I mean, I usually jack off every day, but...
Right.
But I haven't since, like, Saturday night.
He's off his rhythm, Adam. You can appreciate
that.
Wow. Man. Yeah.
Wow. All right, buddy. Do I need to send the team out there, or are you going to be okay? Because I can kickstart you.
How?
I'll give you a jump. I'm like the AAA.
Oh, I see.
I'll come out there and jump you.
Just like a big.
It's like you're broken down on the side
battery,
of the freeway.
Battery.
I come out there with my alligator cables, and I'll get you going again. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
I give you a jump. Yeah, it's like, your battery's went out, you're on the side of the road, I pull up, I put the jumper cables
I haven't heard about your team in a long time. You used to send out your team to select targets for strategical strikes. And
yeah.
Now you're using deploying the team for good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what
we do. They wore the banana leaf hats, remember?
Yeah,
they use straw hats.
Yeah, straw hats and the Hawaiian shirts and Ray-Bans, and they use silencers.
Now you don't need the guns, no weapons.
A lot of them are ex-Cuban patriots, actually, recruited. What we do now is we come into the home, we tarp it off, we get the guys in the gear, we tell usually the teenager... subject, as we call them, just to lie down, and we basically let me explain. As a doctor, the heart, when it gets out of rhythm, that can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And
you have to hit it with a shot of electricity sometimes to get it back onto its cadence.
Right.
I do that for kids who don't beat off.
I see. Are you shocking the Johnson or shocking the spine or the brain or all three areas?
I cannot really divulge.
What's a trade secret? I say, well, that's good.
You will publish
some paper on it.
There's some patents pending, and I don't really want to talk about that on the air.
No, you got to put the science out first before you
suffice
make...
it to say, we get the heart back on rhythm. Guys like Josh that were...
The heart back.
Two guys that were once, twice a day, all of a sudden, it's been 4 or 5 days. Look. You're beating off twice a day, and you miss a Tuesday because you went to your granny's funeral. I'm not going to send the team out.
You might, but you're going to have an assessment.
I'm not going to send the team out. Come Thursday, the van's going to be pulled up in front of the house because
now that they're coming Apache.
Apache, and they rappel.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We don't need to. We could drive up to the house. I insist that they rappel from an Apache helicopter down to the house. It's been 3-4 days now. I call it code white, and something's got to be done because this kid's as close to finding Jesus Christ, and I can't have that on my watch.
Oh, code white.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be. I wish you guys could just see the look on Engineer Chris's puss.
Yeah, I just saw that look.
He was very entertained, wasn't he? He's got a look. Got that look. You know, Engineer Chris. Here's the look Engineer Chris has. He has that look you give after you take a slug out of the milk container that's in the refrigerator, but the milk hasn't gone bad yet, at least overtly bad.
Yeah.
But it's not
close. You think it might.
Something's different.
Yeah.
Something's different. He's got that look you give when you're trying to read the date on the top of it after you've taken a swig that seems, again... Not putrid, just not quite right.
It also reminds me of the cashier, the checkout woman at the counter when you're pulling up after a big long line, and she's sort of greeting you, but sort of like,
When I'm done with you and your 30 pieces of cans of cat food, I'm going to be taking a break.
Yeah, it's a smile, but it...
Let's get through this.
Yeah.
They're not paying me enough.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's go to break.
Let's go to break.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mercifully. Let's go.
Who do you want to talk to? Brett?
Yep.
All right. Brett?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's happening, my man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Fantastic.
I'm really excited to be on with you guys.
We're excited to have you on the show, and as you know, the callers are the show.
Oh, well, when the Ace Man isn't the show.
Well, that's true.
All right, what's up, bro?
What's up?
Hey, I just, first of all, wanted to say, Dr. Drew, I've been trying really hard to get a hold of your book, but every time I get to the bookstore, it's sold out, so congratulations, You're selling really well here.
Well, thanks. Anybody who read it and liked it, please put some positive reviews up on the Amazon website.
I hadn't, idiot,
for a long time, and I went out tonight. I went, there were some wonderful ones, but there were some hideous ones.
Someone put a bad review up there?
Well, there's 200 reviews up there, so it's bound to be some bad ones. But so, the ones that are so...
Drew, stop torturing yourself.
Empty and mindless and acting out. I can't stand that.
I've never gone on the computer and put my name into it before. It would be torture.
It is torture.
Don't do it.
All right.
Go ahead, Brett.
Oh, yeah. So, I've been with my girlfriend for a little bit over a year, and we have a really wonderful relationship, and we both love each other entirely. And we've come up upon this little issue recently where, we've been doing what couples do sexually, but she seems to be afraid to have sex, and everything up to oral we both are very comfortable with and enjoy entirely, but it seems that she is afraid. She's voiced that she's afraid and doesn't
know why. You're 18. How old is she?
She's 16.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, and I knew you guys would have an issue with that.
Well, it's not so much an issue. Is that a 16-year-old really might not be ready for this yet?
Okay.
An overwhelming experience.
Yeah.
And you've never had... Is she a virgin?
Yes, we both are.
Both virgins. Brett.
What?
Quiet down.
Okay.
Brett's 18, but he's one of the good ones.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
He's
and that's good people. Right, and that's why I don't have an issue with him seeing her and just the way he's treating her and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it is within the law in California.
And you guys have been together for how long?
For a year. Over a year.
He was 17, she was 15.
Over a year.
Yeah.
It works.
Okay. You'd like to lose your virginity.
Yeah, I plan on being with her for quite a while, yeah.
Right. I would still really urge you not to push her.
Oh, no, I don't. In fact, I've been speaking with her a little bit. Actually, just with your inspiration, listening to what you have to say on the radio all the time,
Me rant about traffic for minutes at a time.
That too, but with what Dr. Drew often discusses about sexual abuse histories and
has she got some history?
Well, we started talking about that just maybe a month ago, and I have my own history, which isn't so filled with sexual abuse as it is with a little bit of physical and psychological, but she. She is unsure, which is interesting, but she has never said no or yes. She's unsure as to whether there's been abuse in her history. She says she can clearly remember her childhood, but that there are some...
How is her relationship with her family?
Her relationship with her mother and sister is excellent, and with her father it's very distant, but the parents are together.
Why so distant with dad?
Dad's an attorney or something? Or
actually, her dad, he did work full-time until 2 months ago that he got laid off, but no, it's nothing like an attorney or anything like that. It's clerical work, but...
Why distant from him? Why?
Why distant? Just because... what she has voiced to me is that she saw... something happened between her parents.
That's interesting.
About 4 years ago, and
all right, so
they can freak out a bit.
Here's
the point: she's a little freaked out.
Brett's a good guy.
Yeah. The fact that she's with him says something good.
Yeah,
she's not really behaving like a trauma survivor.
Yes.
She's got some issues, some phobic sort of preoccupation. She's still young, can't process all this. She'll get through this. Give her some time.
You trying to sort of rush her sexual encounter with you, the intercourse part, is like you trying to get a shrub to grow by standing next to it and like yelling at it. It's just put a little water on it, hit it with a little manure.
Give it some time.
Hope God the clouds part and God smiles on it, a little sunshine, and don't worry, it'll happen.
Right.
You standing yelling at it, so it's just not going to really do anything, and that's fine.
And
Brett's a good guy, and you may screw it up. So fine, but
here's where the 16-18 thing does get in the way. At 18, you're sort of in a different place, and it's going to be hard to wait the 2 or 3 years it takes her to come around.
Right, they're having oral sex, I'm going to give it 6 months.
At least.
If you don't get it in 6 months, you can call us back, and I'll send the van
squad
over.
Right.
Or the Cherokee.
Let's quickly take five, real quick. Christina, 19.
Hi.
Hey.
You've never been to the gyno?
Never.
You're having sex?
Yes.
Then you have to go.
Yeah. My question was, how confidential is it in regards to my parents?
You are an adult. The doctor cannot share any information with anybody other than under your explicit direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have the HIPAA laws and they have the narco.
And it wouldn't like accidentally. So it wouldn't like accidentally come out like. I don't know.
What do you think it is? Is he going to publish it in JAMA?
Well, no. Like, I just have this whole picture of like going into the office and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, since your daughter is sexually active and her...
Well, then why don't you, if you have discomfort, the boundary problems in the relationship with this particular doctor, go to another doctor.
Right.
It's fine.
That's right.
Planned Parenthood.
Go to whatever,
if you're at a school, the school has tons of health services for you.
College, that is. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, everybody, that's the show. So, tomorrow night, a man who has been in not every movie ever made, but every third movie ever made.
Since the beginning of time.
That's right. Jeremy Piven, tomorrow night. And God bless you. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.